But next time, click, click. Now, of course, I'm talking about a World War II 45. Not these bits of garbage they have out now. That's a clean click click, by the way, in a 1911A. The new ones sound like sand. You go crunch, crunch, and you pay about $900 for the stupid thing. Funny, you know, this is a sideline, by the way, but when they try to duplicate the M1 carbine, there was an outfit took over a lot of the patents and so on, and so they decided they were going to take all the tolerances and clean them up so that it wouldn't rattle like the M1 carbine did. And so they tightened the bolt, and they tightened this, and they tightened that, and they took it out and tried to fire it, it wouldn't shoot. So they said, well, let's loosen this up, and so they loosened that up, and then it would fire, but it would jam every so often. And so they said, well, it appears that the problem is here, and they ended up with an M1 carbine rattling all over the place and so on. I know you ladies are just thrilled to know that, and I could see you feverishly taking notes. Doctrine of the M1 carbine. All right, verse 22, from the original language. If you're following along in the English text, the translation, by the way, is very close, especially in the New American Standard. Again, we began last week, and you should have those notes in front of you. If you do not, see me afterwards. I'd be more than glad to pass it out to you. We talked about articles. This is a feminine plural vocative article. And I neglected to mention to you on Friday that the vocative is one of those cases where address is involved. For example, in the various cases of the Greek language, the vocative is connected with an address. For example, if I said, say, Bill, that's a vocative. Okay? Bill would be in the vocative situation. All right, so the article then introduces us to a feminine plural. It is feminine plural because it is not that the man has many wives, it's just wives that exist should be subordinate to the husbands that exist. That's the idea. If you were to translate this in its singular sense, it would simply read, you wife, be subject to your own man. Simple. In this case, it's you wives, be subject to your own men. See? Doesn't mean that a wife has many men or that a man has many wives. It's plural here because there are many wives and many husbands being referred to. The word for woman, again, is from yin-yi. And again, it is a feminine plural vocative noun. Then we have the word for own. It is an adjective in the masculine plural dative, and it's from idios. And idios, as I suggested to you, and I will repeat that suggestion, does not mean idiot, although some of them are. Idios means same as or in the sense of compatibility with. Now that's not in any way to be confused with the doctrine of compatibility which we studied under phase two of the marriage relationship. This has to do with compatibility under the concepts of right man and right woman. Here's the whole point. A woman can only subject herself to one man, her right man. And if she's married to the wrong man, she can't subordinate herself to him. Just like you ladies who are married to your right man cannot subordinate as you do to him to anybody else. You can't. Now, there is a relationship that I should mention, and that is where I can intrude into that particular area where the pastor and the congregation is really like a marriage. Why? Because the pastor is like the right man of the relationship and the congregation is like the right woman, without the sex, of course. But under that subordinative quality, the right man here becomes the pastor. And by the way, only men are pastors. Ridiculous. Can you imagine a woman getting up here and saying, and then when they get in that high voice and start screaming, oh, brother, that would shut me down right now. What we need today is more evangelists. Shut up! See, God knows that the masculine voice carries with it authority. It's like in the military. All right, when my DI would say, Kent, huh! I know what he meant. Not kick it! Faggot. Right? You don't want to listen to some squeaky little voice standing in the pulpit. Now, I'm not saying that men can't have squeaky voices, please. One of the greatest Bible teachers I ever heard had a horrible voice. Horrible. I heard another one had a sing-songy voice. He actually sang when he spoke. Not really singing, but he might as well have been. I mean, you could have played a tune on a piano and kept time with him. Okay? But Merle Unger has an atrocious voice. But still, great, great Bible teacher. And then we have others who have a very authoritative Germanic voice. And obviously, people listen to that too in Houston. I wonder who I'm talking about. Then you have pleasant, kind, gentle Greek me. The pastor and the church, a relationship. Right man, right woman. And here's what you do. See, all of you say, I allow you to intrude into my mind and into my affairs. That doesn't mean I do, by the way. But I'm talking about public presentation. One thing a pastor should never do, and that is to go into your home and intrude into your privacy. But, you see, under this collective arrangement, I can intrude in your privacy without even knowing it, because you've allowed me to. For those of you that have, of course. And you say, yeah, all right, here I am, and I'm private. And in the privacy of my own mind, you come in here now and you kick. Occasionally, some of you come to me and you'll say, I enjoy that when you give us a good swift kick every so often. I don't know that I'm kicking you necessarily, although occasionally I do try to kick you and it doesn't do any good. You know, I do have somebody in mind and I go swift and you go. That's why you are like you are, you see. You've just learned how to duck the kicks. See, what did we call that when I was a Baptist? Shooting barbs from the pulpit, okay? Now, I don't shoot barbs from the pulpit. I just come right out and be direct about it. All right. Igeneka, the women, or in this case, the wives. And then we have Tis Idios Andrasin. And Andrasin is from Andra, which is from Andros, which is from Aner, which simply should be translated men. And in this case, because of the relationship to the previous noun, the references, of course, to wives in this previous, therefore, this automatically becomes Asbans. Okay? A Freudian slip. Now you say, but the word be subject to does not appear in verse 22. No, it does not. Correctly translated, it does, because there is this little word that we studied the other night, looks like this, and it has a circumflex over it, os, and that is a reflexive word going back. You see, it is a particle, but it's a comparative particle. And when you have a comparative particle, what do you have to do with it? You got to go back and find out what it compares. If I said to you, that's a coordinating conjunction, what would you say? Well, it's a conjunction that does what? This is really deep now. A coordinating conjunction is a conjunction that coordinates. What does it coordinate? It joins together two things, right? Pete and Tilly. Yeah, right man, right woman. That was a great movie, by the way, for those of you that saw it. many, many years ago. Walter Matthau played Pete, and I don't remember who played Tilly, but it was absolutely phenomenal. We don't have good movies like that anymore. Now everybody wants to blow people up and so on and so forth. And then there's the war-type movies also. All right, so we have then this. I'm glad some of you have a sense of humor, but others of you just went, what? Oh, it's reflexive. Going back to what? All right, the comparison is back. That particular word is found in verse 21. And it's the word be subordinating yourselves to each other. And then this word, os, goes back and says, just as you were subordinating yourself to the Lord, subordinate yourself to each other. Notice, then we're going to translate it, the particle just as. And then the last two words from the dative to kiriu. Got to spell it right? Okay. Subscript circumflex. That's the way it looks in Greek. That's what you should have in front of you. Is it right? Okay. To the Lord. All right. Os to the Lord. Just as you do to the Lord. All right. Now, let's translate it. Wives, to your own husbands, just as you do to the Lord. Well, just as you do what to the Lord? Subordinate. So we came up with a principle last time, and I'm going to reiterate that principle, and it's simply this. If a woman is not subject to the Lord, she cannot be subject to her husband. As a matter of fact, she won't be. And you'll find that there is a tremendous degree of relationship between the two. And so we came up with a little formula, and that is the proportion to which she is subject to the Lord is proportionate or degreed to her subjection to her own husband. So the lady that says, and I use that word sparingly, lady, the woman that says, the female that says, I will not subject myself to that jerk, is saying, in effect, well, I won't subject myself to the Lord either. Why? Because it's the Lord that gave the command, not the jerk. He just happens to be playing the part. Hey, let's see if we can show it a kind of a pseudographic here. Incidentally, I still need somebody to clean the overhead. Cindy leaves and... All right, here's the command that comes down from the Lord. That command is given to the woman. What does it say? Wives, subject yourself to your own husbands. Not any husband, your own husbands. Idios. Under right man. So you say no. You say no to your husband, but in effect, who are you saying no to? The one from whom you initially got the command. What it boils down to. A father establishes a command and says to his young boy, don't mess around with that girl, protect her. And so he says no to his father and yes to the girl, and she ends up pregnant. Same thing. The command came from the father. Did the father get her pregnant? No. He was disobedient. Now, when a wife does not subject herself to her husband, she's saying no to the commander. Hey, when I was in the military, I got a lot of commands handed down, and I never saw these people. I didn't have to say, look, unless I see Colonel so-and-so, or unless I see Major so-and-so, I'm not going to follow. No, I may have known Major so-and-so. And then I'd question the command because some of them were a little bit weak in the cabeza, you know. They lacked the essential, I guess the easy way to put it would be neuronic progress. The system of their neurons apparently had been destroyed at birth. You say, well, how'd they ever become officers? Well, I think they just got picked. You become one. We enlisted men always felt that way, right? Sure. Since we only have a few officers here, and the ones, well, anyway, getting back to this, we have then the principle that God has given a command to the woman. The woman then says no to her husband. She's not saying no to her husband. She's saying no to her head, her spiritual head. Now, we have that as well in 1 Corinthians 11, and that is the subordination factor is simply indicated by the length of her hair. Yeah, the length of her hair. You ever wonder why, by the way, women's hair should be longer than a man's hair? And why is it a shame for a man to have long hair? Why? Because he looks weird, among other things. That isn't the problem. The length of the hair shows femininity and subordination. So a man with long hair is acting feminine. Simple enough. And a woman with short hair, I notice all of these horsey women want to have crew cuts. And if I had anything to do with it, I'd give them a crew cut. And if they want to act like a GI, might as well have them look like one. Just shave the head. That's what Paul indicates in that passage. What's the shaved head? Now, I know the ancient world, the shaved head was indicative of a woman that was loose on the streets and a prostitute and a woman of ill repute and so on. Hey, let's get practical. What does a woman look like with a shaved head? She looks like a woman with a shaved head, but what does a man look like with a shaved head? Beautiful. Huh? I see, I'm trying to prepare all of you youngsters that there is a phrase that is quite common around here, which is very highly acceptable, saying, bald is beautiful. It just shows that you have something there other than fatty tissue. Hey, when I heard that, you want to see how I jumped onto that bandwagon? Found out that people that have a full head of hair that are old have a layer of fat between the cranium and the outer skin. And so I said, there you got it. See, bald-headed people are not fatheads. Simple enough. We lost a lot of people with a full head of hair after that statement. So I quit saying things like that. Now, you're young, and you have hair. So, I got that from my oldest daughter. She used to respond to almost everything her mother and I said to her. So, why should a woman be subordinate to her husband? What is she showing? What is she revealing? That she's a weak person? No. As a matter of fact, sometimes it takes a lot of strength to subordinate to that guy. Look, every decision that your husband will ever make, ladies, is not the greatest decision in the world. But you show your support. And see, here's the thing. God will bless you for being obedient to His Word, but it'll also discipline you for being disobedient to His Word. So what would you rather be? Obedient to your husband, who may not have the right answers, and in turn be obedient to the Lord, or be disobedient to your husband because you know that that isn't right, and in turn be disobedient to the Lord in the command of subordination to your own husbands. You say, well, doesn't a wife have the right to sit down and talk with her husband? Sure, of course she does. But she doesn't have to get on her high horse. She can reason with him if he's reasonable. Most men are. Here, Westside. He You say, well, doesn't your wife ever say anything to you about your ministry?
No.
That's one agreement we had a long time ago. It is my ministry, not yours. And I'm subject to the Lord in what I say, and if I'm wrong, he'll clobber me. You just leave me alone. Now, there are certain areas in the house that I turn it over to her completely. Look, any smart man says, I really don't have it when it comes to that, and she does. Let her have it. And I don't mean this way, I mean the situation. Got to watch phrases in the English language, in this church especially. Let her have it. So the next day, he'd come in with a big mouth. So what happened? Well, he let me have it. No, for instance, the way in which a room is arranged. I could really care less. As long as I can get a toolbox in there someplace, that's all I care about. Give me a toolbox and a workbench. As long as I have that, forget it. That's why that whole area in my shop is my shop. And so I said something the day about my wife said, I need such and such. And I said, well, you know where it is. She said, I'm not going out there. She stays clear of that place. What does a woman show when she subordinates to her own husband, her subordination from the Lord, and then with her long hair and with his short hair? By the way, say, how long is long and how short is short? Qualification, apparently, as far as I can detect, is that her hair should be a little longer than his, and whatever seems to be stylish. Of course, some of us don't have much choice. All right. The angelic beings apparently look down. Homo sapien looks and observes. And what do they see? They see a woman subordinate to her husband. And what does that show? The church subordinate to Christ. What a perfect example. And the chosen angels of heaven rejoice. You say, what do you mean the angels look and so on? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. What do you mean the angels are observing? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You say, now, Pastor, I think you've made a mistake. That's the passage we use for communion. Yeah, it sure is, but there is another context that goes along with it. I'm not going to burden you with praying or prophesying, because praying and prophesying, having to do with the Corinthian church, especially in the early church, dealt with the two gifts and areas of ministry that no longer exist today. We don't have prophets walking around the face of the earth. We don't have people that add to the scriptures by special revelation. When the Word of God became complete, by 100 A.D., no revelation was added. And therefore, there were certain sign gifts and certain temporary gifts that passed from the scene. One of which is the gift of prophet. Another was the gift of tongues. No one has legitimately spoken in tongues since 70 A.D. Why? Because tongues was designed to introduce the destruction of Jerusalem and the Jews going into the fifth cycle of discipline. Why would you want it now? So certain areas have changed, but the idea of prophesying, the idea of praying, and we have, for example, passages that very clearly teach that a woman should never pray audibly in the presence of adult men. A woman should never teach nor usurp authority over adult men. You'll never see that here. I will never call on a woman to pray congregationally. Covered with her hair clear down to the floor, it wouldn't matter. Why? Because it'd be improper. I didn't make these rules, by the way, ladies, so don't give me those fiery looks. You take it up with the author. You go home tonight and you say, look, I read the 1 Corinthians 11, I don't like it. I didn't make up the rules. I just follow the rules. I learned that. It took me a long time, but I finally learned it. But you'll notice the woman, verse 7, the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. As a matter of fact, you can add to that, and for the man. Why was woman created initially? Come on, ladies, admit it. For the man. For the man. What did he need? Companionship. And what a great companion. I wouldn't have it any other way, by the way. I think it's phenomenal. A man and a woman going through life together, phenomenal. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. See, there it is. For this cause ought the woman to have the authority on her head because of the what? Because of the angels. They observe. They look to see what's going on. And she, you see, look, authority on her head. The head of every man is whom? Let's start with the order, the chain of command. First, we have God. All right? Who is subordinate to God the Father? Christ. All right? We find that in the opening verses of this passage. Third, we have man. Fourth, we have woman. Know that the head of every man is Christ. Know that the head of Christ is God, that is Christ in his humanity, earthly ministry. Man, Christ. And therefore, note that the head of every woman is the man. The man who prays with his head covered dishonoreth his head. All right, here's his head. That's his head. And now we'll put a covering on it. You say, that looks like a dunce cap. Might as well be, because he is one. The man who prays with his head covered dishonors his head. Who's the head of the man? Christ. So the man, that's why when we pray, and you guys have your baseball caps on and so forth, and you know that when you go to ball games, everybody removes their cap. That's why you do that. But a woman can pray with her head covered. Why? Because she doesn't have to pray with her head covered. But in so doing, she is showing her authority passed on to her head. But if she prays with her head uncovered, not uncovered without a hat on, but uncovered from the standpoint of authority, to where she is claiming the same prerogative as the man who prays with his head uncovered, she dishonors her head, and it doesn't say she dishonors her cranium. She dishonors who? The man in that relationship. So I'm not going to have women pray in this congregation because you'd be dishonoring the man in your life. And if you're single, I certainly wouldn't, because the man in your life when you're single is whom? The Lord. See, and here's what you do, ladies, when you get married. Here you are in single bliss. You are directing all of your subordination to your main authority in life, outside of your father, by the way, the head of your relationship, and that is to your Lord. Now, when you marry, you single that information out now to whom? Your husband, who is also what? Your Lord. You say, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that I have to wait until I get a husband that I can consider my Lord? Right on. And unless he qualifies, don't bother. And you can tell generally within a few minutes
I love you. Let's make love.
Yeah, sure. On your way, Jack. I need you like I need the sin unto death. All right, establishing the principle again then. Look at verse 3. I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. The head of Christ is God. There's the outline I have in front of you. Now, when the man does what he does to dishonor his head, he's dishonoring Christ. Which, of course, again, is language of accommodation. You know, you must realize that you cannot dishonor Christ. You can only dishonor yourself. You can't dishonor Christ. You can't change the unchangeable. You know, I hear people say, well, that's dishonoring to the Lord. No, you're acting dishonorably. But you can't dishonor the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is absolute honor. Haven't you ever done anything in your life that was rather dishonorable? I remember in the military we had people that had to leave and they left under two conditions, undesirable or dishonorably. Now, of course, they've modified it, you know, incompatibility, whatever that means. What does that mean, incompatibility? Well, he can't hack it. He can't hack taking orders. Why? Because that was not established in his family. Don't you see, people, when a child, the offspring of this relationship, sees a woman subordinate to her man, then the children, the girls of that relationship, look forward to that time when they can turn over their authority to their right man. And then the pattern is also established when the man is showing that in the relationship of his love for his wife, the sons of that relationship see that, and they see how the woman responds to his love, and the pattern is established, and they say, yes, that's what I want. I want to have that same relationship. Now, what do we have today? We've got a mess. We've got a bunch of males running around doing their thing, bunch of females running around doing their thing, and the awful thing is they're having kids doing it. So what does the kid do? He looks and he says, who's my role model? And you know who it ends up being? Some rock star. Now, by the way, I have no problem with that. That is the music in general. It's apparently the music of the 90s. Look, you got to appreciate, I was raised in the 30s and 40s with regard to music. I like the old stuff, the old Glenn Miller stuff, all the old slow stuff. I still listen to it today. I'm called old-fashioned. But back then it was called aggressive and suggestive. And then we had some beauties in the early 40s. Mares eat oats, and does eat oats, and little lambs eat ivy. A kid will eat ivy too, wouldn't you? And I didn't know the words to that song until about 20 years later when I started to speak English properly. And I always thought it was mares eat oats, and does eat oats, and little lambs eat ivy, and kiddle eat ivy too, wouldn't you? I understood wouldn't you, and I thought all the rest was gibberish. When a man loves his woman, the sons grow up to love their wives. When a woman is subordinate to her husband, the girls grow up to desire that same relationship. Why? They say, Mom was so happy. Mom was so secure. Now, those of you that have come from backgrounds where that wasn't the case, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I don't want to be like Mom. I don't want to be like that jerk that I had a father. Phil and I were fishing last night. Well, Dee was out there too, but we couldn't find him. We had a problem with communication. I'll meet you to play. All right, okay. And then we're in two different places. We got hit with four storms in a row. lightning striking all over. You can imagine Phil trying to sleep, and then all of a sudden, BAM! It comes up and says, "What was that?" I says, "Bass breaking in the water." No, I really didn't say that, but it was close. That is the lightning. Listen, when you hear, you know how the little game you play when you're a kid, you go, you see the flash, you go, 100, 200, 300, 1. This is one of these. Light, bam! And then a tree falls down. You say, And of course, the safest place to be during a lightning storm is on the water, isn't it? And then it was the guy next to us who had an aluminum boat. Whoa! So I kept saying to Phil, I says, "Good old fiberglass." And then my arm had hit the aluminum of my canopy. All right, and I go, never fearing, of course, that the lightning would ever hit us. Not really. Never fearing. Say, what was your point? Who knows? I know what it is now. We're talking about my dad. And so Phil says to me, "Your dad was rather weird, wasn't he?" And I said, "Weird isn't the word. He was a jerk." And he was. I have to admit that. You say, "How can you speak that way about your dad? He was a jerk." He didn't have the foggiest idea what being a man was all about. He didn't have the foggiest idea what marriage was all about. He didn't have the foggiest idea what raising children was all about. He thought raising children was simply to have them as a result of pleasure and then what they could do for him when he got old. And he never got old. He died at 58. Never had that pleasure. And you say, "What about his advice to you?" And say, "What advice? The only advice he ever gave me was get rid of your wife so you can go in business for yourself and make money." Now that's weird. That's what I'm telling you. My dad was a jerk. So Phil says to me, "Well, it apparently didn't rub off on you." And I said, "Well, I didn't live with him. I didn't come under his influence. And probably if I had, what would have happened? I'd have ended up like my half-brother. I have a half-brother. He's a jerk. Okay? And I have a half-sister. She lives in Houston. Really smart. Really on the ball. And you know what she says? My brother is a jerk." Now, what's surprising is he looks more like his mom and my half-sister looks more like my dad, and yet it's the reverse of their thinking. My half-brother thinks exactly like my dad did. Just jerky. You see, jerky is something you put out in the sun and let it... And that's what's happened to him. He's been out in the sun too long. His brain is jerky. Salted. No gray matter. Minus neurons. Just space. So you say, "Well, how did he do as a husband?" Follow the same pattern. Same pattern. Married a lovely non-Greek, by the way. First mistake. For him. But anyway, beautiful, very nice, very pleasant. Can you believe this? That his mom, after the death of my father, had a greater relationship with his ex-wife than she did with her own son. Why? Because she says, "My son is a jerk." Now, of course, I've used that word. I probably abused it at this point. It's new to me, you see. No, it really is. It's new to me. I've never used that much in my life. I'll come up with a new one here along the line. I'll say something else, and that'll be the name of the day. Right now, it's jerk. I love it. It just has a sound to it. Almost like, what a dud. You know, you pull the pin on a grenade and you lob it and it goes, jerk. The guy that put that together. Like when I was with the police department, we'd get out there. Bob used to have the same problem. Ready, load, right, fire. Bam, bam, poof. Oh, cute. We had a man here that went out with reloads, and he got out there and he was firing, bam, bam, poof. And then he, bam. Okay? And then he, bam again. And he says, something's wrong with this thing. So we were standing about 30 feet the other side in another target area. We walked over to him. That was your brother-in-law, by the way. Walked over to him. You say, what a jerk. And here, if he had a Smith & Wesson or a Colt, the thing would have exploded in his hand. But instead, he had one of these sloppy things where, you know, the space between the forcing cone and the end of the cylinder was like a quarter of an inch. And so, which shouldn't be, but nevertheless. So what happened was, the first round went in and lodged in the barrel. Okay? He fired it again. The second round went in, hit the first round, and lodged. So he kept firing it until the barrel was full, and then it squished out the sides between the end of the barrel and the cylinder. Whoa! And then he said, something's wrong with this thing. I can't pull the hammer back. So we said, I remember Bob says, put it down. So he put it down. Next thing he does, he picks up a weapon, a rifle. All right, it was a rifle that was used by the, I'll be kind here, the Red Chinese in Korea. All right? He's left-handed, right, Bob? Yeah, shot left-handed. So he's got the thing up like this. He fires. The bolt goes out the back, just misses the side of his head, all right, and is about 30 feet in the back. So we're again 30 feet away. We walk over and we say, I suggest that you pack up and go home. So he did. He packed up and went home. We'd been practicing, and so Bob and I said, you know what I think we better do? What? Pack up and go home. And we did. Some weapons are built by jerks. Now, you go around shooting a weapon that's made by Red Chinese. I mean, those people don't even know what the front end of the barrel looks like. Almost as bad as the M16. All right, single, Lord. Husband, single, married, same relationship. And learn it and subordinate to it. There is no more happy woman nor blessed of the Lord than she who obeys her Lord in every area. Father, thank you for the time that we've spent together. Dismiss us now, we ask, in Christ's name. Amen. We'll see you tomorrow night. No, we won't.